Well, today's gospel is both encouraging and challenging at the same time. Christ, like a good parent, both encouraging and then warning, you know, to help us to understand life. I always have in my chapel, I have things that encourage me, and one of them is St. Thérèse of Lisieux, whose feast is a couple of days, who said, she suffered a great deal at the end of her life, and almost not a loss of faith, but a loss of being able to see her faith, to experience anything. And she said, "Let us keep our eyes fixed on heaven, the one true and only object of our labors." This is why Jesus is saying, in essence, there is nothing more important in my life than attaining the kingdom of heaven. And to that end, he gives these examples, which are metaphors. Better to cut your hand out than to be grasping and greedy with money and not giving anybody anything, like the second reading, or cut your eyes out rather than to be sinning by what we're looking at. It's a metaphor, but it's very powerful. He uses the term Gehenna, and basically our Lord talks quite a bit about hell or Gehenna. Gehenna was a real place. Gehenna, again, is a metaphor. It was a place right next to the Temple of Jerusalem. If you think about what they were doing, you know, they had animal sacrifices, and there were leftovers, you know, blood and guts, you know, that kind of thing. And it all went, they had an elaborate system of pipes and things, and it all went down into what is now called the Hinnom Valley. It's still there, and there they would burn what was left over, and it would sit there where the fire did not go out and the worm did not die, and it smelled horrible, and nobody wanted to go near it. And it's between the Temple Mount today and the Mount of Olives on the other side. And now today, tourists that go through there, there's robbers in there, so it's still not a place you want to go without a guide. Christ compares that, and I think today he would use a different metaphor. I was thinking about when I lived in Tillamook, the person that owned the Tillamook Country Smoker and his partner was Catholic, and he came into the church and gave me a tour of that place. Oh, that wonderful, if you ever had that, it was just wonderful sausage and things that come out. But at the receiving end, they get this animal stuff. I've never smelled anything so bad in my life. I said, how can something so good start out smelling like that? Well, cooking broccoli is the same way, isn't it? I keep the fan on to get that smell in the garden, but I love eating it. Without the hell, there can't be a heaven. We're not potted plants. We have a choice for God or against God. We have to understand what that is and what it means. It's a good chance to just unpack that just a little bit, because we have all these weird and false ideas about what that is. And Jesus is trying to get across to us heaven and hell and purgatory, the place in between, that we can't grasp because we're in a physical world. The world of the future is a spiritual world where the angels are already exist, and one day we will be with them and talk to them as friends. It's a wonderful image, and it's right around the corner. But while we're here, we're making a choice. And according to the scriptures, and in the book of Revelation is the chief source for this, is that the angels also had a test. We're going through a test. Life has a beginning and an end. We don't know where the end is, and we didn't choose our beginning either. We find ourselves in the midst of the world, growing up. We just had a first communion class for starting that again. If we get to that age, we begin to the age of reason, when we're starting to question things about life. Why am I here? And God gives us a lifetime to choose one direction or the other. Each choice of life is a choice for heaven, which is living with God, or hell, which is simply the absence of God, pushing him away. The angels had some kind of a test, because they saw God face to face. They knew exactly what would happen if they sinned. We do not know that. We've never seen God. We don't know the gravity of sin, but we can see it on the cross. That's the gravity of sin. Christ took it for us. All we have to do is hold on to him. But the angels had a different test. And according to scripture, a third of them fell from the sky. We call them demons because they are allowed to test us now and to see what we would prefer in our lives. They are in no way equal to God. but we have a choice as to who to choose. It was not God that created what we call hell. It was the angels that chose to be away from God. What they wanted was not God, anything but God. I don't want God in my life. I don't want the idea of God. I want to make all my own choices. I don't want anybody telling me what to do. If I want to sin, I'm going to call it good. And these angels, by pushing God away, they pushed away everything good. If you think about it, everything good in our world comes from God. The light, the kindness, goodness, self-sacrifice, the air we breathe, this wonderful planet that's like a machine going through the universe, as far as we know, still, with all of our science, the only one we can live on. It's created for us. Yes, it has challenges. We have natural disasters. We have things that make us question God. That's deliberate. We have to make a choice without seeing him. We have to trust him. We go through our own disasters. We have other metaphors besides the Toma country smoker. You know, I've been to the Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, which is the memorial in Israel of the Holocaust. You can go to Auschwitz and see another. I will not describe what I saw there, but one never forgets it. Dachau is the place where they put the priests and the ministers. It is a fact of history that the Nazis planned, after they dealt with the Jews, to deal with the Catholic priests. And then they were going to go down the line and eliminate God from their environment. That was their plan. God intervened at a certain point and stopped that. The best place I ever saw hell on earth was 9/11. I described this. You know, I had two sermons that have had the most downloads. One was the eclipse sermon I gave, and the other one was 9/11. And I gave that at some point or other in the last couple of years. But in sitting there and looking at all those faces, you know, the babies, older people, Muslims in their dress, and kids with, you know, young people, old people, businessmen, and they all, that was it. That was the end of their test. And it was like a sign to all of us that life is precious. And I sat there and I thought, somebody gave them hell on earth. And I don't think they went straight to heaven. I'm sorry. You know, if you make somebody to live in hell on earth, it's not going to go so well when you meet the God of heaven, who did not create us for that kind of an existence. And there's a lot of different ways that we choose heaven and hell. The main way, I think, for most of us, are mouths, frankly. Our Lord said, you know, I don't think this was one of them, but he said, if your mouth is your sin, cut it out. You know, but on the other hand, not to be negative, look at the first part of that gospel. Look how encouraging it is. Jesus says, if only you give a cup of cold water to one of my little ones, you will get your reward. Isn't that amazing? Every act of kindness will have an equal and opposite reaction in this world or the next. One of the ways, you know, you don't think about it, but some people are sacrificing themselves to give us coffee and donuts. It's not easy. You know, that they have to take time. Every little cup of coffee, somebody's going to get a reward for having done that. Somebody cleans the pews, they're going to get a reward for that. You don't even know who they are, do you? We give something. I save my bags, you know, from the grocery store, and I stick them in here. They give them to the food bank. There's a reward for that. Somebody picked up that bag, and there's food in there. You gave some food to the food bank or St. Vincent de Paul. There's a reward there. See how easy it is to choose heaven. How sorry and sad it is for those who pile up money upon money upon money and cheat their employees to get the lowest wage possible. I don't know why people do this, but they end up with nothing in the end, and they're not liked in this world. They're not liked by the people around them, and they don't like themselves either. Hell begins in our own hearts, and so does heaven. It's so easy to choose heaven. Our Lord wants us to live with him forever, but we do have to choose freely. You know, nobody wants friends that we have to bribe to come into our house, only come in only for a meal and then leave right afterward, that don't love us but expect a handout. You know, that's not love. Love is loving somebody without expecting a reward. Love is meeting somebody and loving them for themselves. And God gives us that opportunity on earth by seeing God in each other, even the most unlovable among us. Boy, it's very challenging in this world today to act like that. It's challenging to be a Christian today in a world where so many would prefer almost to live in hell, to push God away from their lives forever because they see him somehow as limiting or a threat, when in fact he wants to give us eternal life and a true happiness that never ends. And this gospel, I think, being challenging is what can I, am I called to cut out? What am I called to put in? The putting in is easier than we think, and the reward is incredible.